And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for joining me today. Hey, I hope you're having a great day out there. We are. Boy, I'll tell you, if you're catching me on the air right now, where are we in the RV bunker, out in the RV, out in the travel trailer? Well, camped right outside of Yosemite National Park. Yeah, we've trundled a little bit back southward. The trek does continue. We added, since last week, about 700 miles to our travel log. Coming at, you know, closing in on a 3,000 so far on the trip. Man, it's been a long haul. And, you know, this past week, we were mostly up camping in a little town called Klamath, almost, about an hour south of Oregon, right on the California coast, right by Redwood National Park. That was the big, big target there. But I don't want to talk about that. I'm actually going to go back about 2.5 weeks ago, and this will lead me into our topic today for the radio show. My son and I, we'd made it across New Mexico. We'd seen all the sights there. We'd spent a good time in Tucson, Arizona, gone and seen the saguaros, all that fun stuff. And we were cruising up from Tucson to Phoenix. In fact, we were headed to a meetup there. One of the local Phoenix ambassadors had put together a get-together. They do these regularly, monthly. If you're a Lifestyles member, you should get out on the calendar. Find those ambassadors. Find out when the next session is, because it's very important to build your network. We'll talk a little bit about why and how that plays in here in just a minute. But yeah, she put together a great session, and that's where we were headed. It's about a two-hour drive from Tucson to Phoenix when you're pulling a travel trailer like I was, only ours took a lot longer. I'm cruising along. I'm telling you, doing this a little under the speed limit. I like to keep it easy with the trailer behind me. And there's this motorhome that had been behind. It's a little older motorhome. I'd been looking at it from time to time in the mirror, and all of a sudden, I see it racing up next to me, honking the horn. This lady in the passenger seat, she's rolling down the window, and she's pointing backwards, and I think, oh, gosh, what is this? And I look in my left side view mirror, driver's side, nothing. Okay, good. Look on the right side, smoke. Uh-oh, what is that? Of course, my brain jumps to the worst-case scenario, fire. Something's on fire. I forgot to turn the propane off, and those lines, if you don't know, they run underneath the RV. There's a little bit of an undercarriage there. Something caught on fire. Oh boy, here we go. Ease over to the side. Guess what? It wasn't as bad as I thought. Nothing but just a simple tire blowout. But boy, what a blowout it was. This is in the Arizona desert, right about high noon, and that thing was smoking. And I kid you not, when we pulled away, I changed the tire. There was a little bit of tire melted to the side of the road. It was that hot. I'm wearing shorts. I'm wearing flip-flops. I kneel down to start changing this tire, and I get right back up because it is boiling hot. Whew. That was rough. That was unexpected. I was not prepared for that mentally, right? Not in that moment. We're trundling along, happy as larks, going to a meeting, going to go farther, going to get to California. Everything's great. But the road got rough, bumpy, literally, right? And the road was not, it's not always been smooth. Aside from that, we've had mechanical issues. The generator failed at one point when we were dry camping. You know, no AC back in Texas when it's hot as Hades, right? Well, water leaked. The underbelly, I mentioned the underbelly of the RV, just about dropped off. I just caught it, reattached it, you know, all sorts of calamity. But here we are. We made it to Yosemite as planned. But problems arose, and I dealt with them. But the question is how? And I don't mean mechanically, right? I'm not super mechanically inclined. I figured these things out, but mentally how? Things come up. And as a real estate investor, things come up. And the question for you is, well, how do you handle them? And maybe more importantly, how do you handle yourself when a hurdle presents itself? When you have a setback, when you hit a literal road bump, or figurative road bump, I should say. Just when things don't go as planned. Do you laugh or do you cry? We typically do one of those things. And we're going to talk about that today, how we handle these sort of hurdles that we come across as real estate investors. And to this point, I do have a very specific listener question. He emailed maybe a week or so ago asking about handling lease-ups in a slow period. In some markets, things have slowed down. That can be a hurdle. I was planning on getting this thing leased in 2 days. Now we're at 2 weeks. What does that mean? What do I do? Do I panic? You know, we had the blowout on the side of the road. Did I panic? No, my brain raced to the worst-case scenario, and I had to pull it back a little bit. You know, it's interesting. We think about all the things that could go wrong in real estate. And I talk a lot about the bell curve because I find the frequency of things, when they occur, they really do follow that bell curve. You know, statistically, there's a reason why we talk about that. Most things that occur happen in the very middle. But there are those tail events, those things that are out on either end of the tail. One end of the tail are those super exceptionally good things. Yeah, I got that home run. I got that no cash out of pocket investment house. It was awesome. But on the other end of the tail, oh gosh, the house burnt down. There was a tornado. The roof got ripped off. Someone died. All kinds of bad things are going to happen. Just like when I had my tire blow out. Brain raced to that tail end of the bell curve and worst case thing, things on fire. Do I have a fire extinguisher? Oh, what am I going to do? So you've got to, I want to talk about how you address that and make sure you stay there in the middle. There are things, very concrete things that you can do as a real estate investor to make sure that you don't jump to conclusions, to make sure that you don't assume the worst case scenario. In fact, for you that have never done this before, to make sure that you don't start, right? Or to make sure that you do, I should say. I don't want you to assume all the worst and just simply not dismiss that real estate investing thing. I'm not going to do it. It's too risky. It's too scary. That is not for me. Because it is. It's for everybody. You can do it. And you can get to the financial freedom that we talk about on the show that allows you to wander the country or travel the world or spend time with your grandkids or do things for your church. Whatever it is you want to do with your time, you can buy that back, and residential real estate is the way to go. Boy, I'll tell you, if you're catching me on the air right now, camped right outside of Yosemite National Park, one of the big destinations, one of the big stops that we had on our radar. And, you know, it's interesting because the whole reason we're here is because of my son. He, for some reason, along the way, picked up a fascination with Teddy Roosevelt, one of our presidents, right? And Teddy Roosevelt, he's the guy that really put into place a lot of our national park system. In fact, he came to Yosemite. This is before it was a national park. He met with a guy named John Muir. In fact, there's a nice national park, national monument, just a little bit north of San Francisco, called the John Muir National Monument. He and Teddy, they went camping, kind of like we've been doing occasionally off-grid. They were totally off-grid. Teddy wanted to get away from his daily travails, all the things he had to do as a president, and as much as his advisor didn't want him to do it, he did it. He's a pretty hard-headed guy, right? He's the guy that said, speak softly and carry a big stick. And Teddy, he's an interesting guy. And again, this goes back to my son and his fascination. I've been learning right alongside him. And, you know, he fell in love with what he saw at Yosemite. We're going to make this a national park. We're going to expand the national park system. But Teddy himself, he encountered a lot of hurdles, and that's what we're talking about today. And I asked you earlier, are you the type of person, when you encounter these hurdles, do you laugh or do you cry? Well, I don't think President Roosevelt, I don't think he cried. Now, I don't know if he laughed either, but what I do know is he charged them head on. When something happened, he attacked it. You know, he had a philosophy of just doing things. Now, I'm a type B person, and you may be as well. What do we type Bs do? We think about things. We don't always do things. Sounds like Teddy might have been more of a type A. I'm going to go attack it. You know, as a child growing up, he was kind of a weak kid. He had really bad, you know, he's sickly, had really bad asthma and lots of health issues, worried his parents, worried him. He was aware of them. And to take that on, well, he took on sports. He took on rigorous exercise. He did things. And Del Walmsley will tell you his story. Similar story. Del, he was a fat kid. He'll tell you that. Well, he took that and took it as a challenge and became a bodybuilder. Now, Teddy, he maybe didn't become a bodybuilder, but he took on sports. He took on what he would call the strenuous life to address that adversity, to address that hurdle, right? His dad would tell him, get action going, do things, be sane, don't fritter your time away. The point is, don't just sit there and think about it. Don't stew on it. Don't cry about it. Right? If you as a real estate investor run into an issue or a hurdle or something isn't going exactly as you planned it, well, there are lots of things you can do. And that's the point. Do something. right? Don't just cry about it. Don't complain, right? Who do you think is going to have greater progress, the person that complains full-time or the person that actually takes action? You know it. You know it. But there are concrete things you can do as an investor, and I'll tell you how we handle hurdles, right? There are a couple of things. Number one, mindset. Having the right mindset about you. We'll get into a little more detail here. Even before that, though, is preparation, being prepared. Part of that will be the education that you get as an investor, as a nascent growing investor. And then getting help, surrounding yourself with a great team, okay? And let's talk about preparation first and foremost. We'll talk about team as well. That's actually part of your preparation is building your team. But preparation is getting educated, is knowing the process, is understanding, well, what does it mean to buy a single family house, especially if we're buying it the way that they talk about Lifestyles Unlimited, and that's buying a house that's discounted. And it's discounted because it needs work. Well, if it needs work, what does that mean? That means renovations. Well, what do renovations mean? Sometimes that means opening up the wall. What happens when you open up the wall? Sometimes you find things. Maybe those are things you hadn't planned for. So as a prepared investor, you need to know the level of rehab you're going to do. You need to know what goes into renovations. These are all things you can learn. These are all things that we can teach you, in fact, at Lifestyles Unlimited. We teach you the processes, the how. How do I find a house? How do I renovate a house? How do I lease a house? These are very, very easy things to talk about. Real estate is very, very simple. People are hard. Del Walmsley, he will tell you that. If you can follow the process, if you can follow the map, and stay on course, it's not that hard, but things do come up. And the more educated you are, the more you know about the possibilities, right? Talking about a bell curve, 99% of the time, you're going to be in the body of that bell. Occasionally, there will be those tail and incidences. What do you do? Well, preparation comes into that. And there are things you can do to prepare for those tail end events. Things like mitigating risk. And we'll talk about things like insurance, having proper insurance. If your fear is that tail end event that is probably not going to happen, which is fire or tornado, or if you're on the coast, a hurricane or a typhoon or whatever, a tsunami here in California, what do you do to prepare? Insurance is a big thing. You know, talk to any investor that has encountered a fire, and they'll tell you, no, I actually came out ahead. Insurance pays a ridiculous amount of money when things happen. It's sad, but it's true. And if you're afraid of those tail end events, have a good insurance policy. It's really that simple. It really is. But there's more. Other things you can do to mitigate risk, things like doing proper renovations, right? If you renovate the house correctly, you reduce things like trip hazards. You reduce those fire hazards, right? Everything else, you become a good operator in essence. And a good operator is always going to outperform a bad operator. Bad operators cut corners. Bad operators are what we call slumlords. And that's not us. When you're doing it right, you're going to mitigate a ton of risk. So we're just talking about hurdles, but at this point, we're just simply doing things to avoid them altogether. But things come up. Sometimes it's a small deviation from your plan, but it may be a big deviation. And at that point, it may be time to go back and look at the plan. You know, when we started investing in 2012, my wife and I, we sat down and we drew out this timeline. This is what we're going to do. We're going to buy this number of houses this year and this number this year after that and this number after that. And then we're going to start selling them. We're going to get into apartments. Dot, 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 dot. We had this timeline. Did we exactly perform to that timeline? Not at all. Not at all. Did we let that frustrate us? No. Things come up that cause you to perform differently, sometimes better, sometimes worse. But you have to be aware of that. And that's part of your preparation as well as an investor, is understanding the timeline, and understanding that things can move a little bit, and understanding what your goals are, and understanding when to review those, and when perhaps to reset those, right? Back to mitigating risk. So insurance, proper renovations, proper maintenance. Now, we talk a lot about the fact that, well, my cash flow is comprised of rent, net of my fixed expenses, which is my mortgage and my property taxes and my insurance, and I keep the rest. And I always tell you, maintenance basically goes to zero. And it's true. If you renovate the house right, you're basically bringing all of that maintenance forward into the rehab time. So you don't have to address it during the ongoing hold period. But there are probably, and there are, I think, ongoing maintenance things that you should do. For example, most of my rentals are in Texas. I don't know if you know this, but Texas gets really, really hot. It gets hot in the summer. Well, I like to have preventative maintenance calls with my AC guy. I just send him out to all the houses in advance of the summer period. Go check the, you know, go check the capacitors, go clean the outside unit, go check for leaks, do all the things you need to do to make sure that thing's going to run through the season without issue. And here I am in California. I've not had a single AC call or email during the duration of this trip. Proper maintenance helps you along the way as well. We'll be right back.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Life is challenging and ever-changing. Take control with passive income through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Del Walmsley and Lifestyles Unlimited's investors and mentors show you. Meet Del's team and get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. Thanks for joining me today. If you have any questions, send those over to me. You can email me at askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. We're going to take up a listener question here in the second part of the show. I did email him. You know, I already replied by email, but I want to bring this up with you because I know the market's a little bit, in some places, it's slowed a little bit. So let's talk about leasing up, because that can be a hurdle. And a lot of people, I know that's a fear. It's not just a hurdle. It may be a hurdle to you becoming a real estate investor because you build up this big fear in your mind that, well, I'll never be able to lease the house. What if I can't find a tenant? You can. And if you're having troubles, well, we'll talk about some of the things you might look at, some of the things you might do here in just a minute. But preparation, before you even get to those hurdles, being prepared is key. I told you earlier that we had a pretty big blowout on Interstate 10. Two lanes going north, two lanes going south, middle of the day in the Sonoran Desert. It was hot and it was uncomfortable changing a tire on the side of the road, but I had the tools. I had my torque wrench, I had my breaker bar to undo the lugs, I had the proper bottle jack to get the thing lifted. I had some difficulty, right? We're on the side of the freeway. Trucks are just barreling by. Every time a truck went by, they try to change lanes if they can, but if they can't, man, that whole RV is shaking. Fortunately, I was on the away side of the highway, but I had the tools. Right, I knew what I needed to do. I had the spare. Fortunately, we didn't have any other issues with any other tires because we only had one spare, as is normal. But we got it done. Being prepared. Being mentally ready. Is this the first time I've had a tire issue? No, we had another one 900 miles prior in Hobbs, New Mexico. Fortunately, we were right by the tire shop. Took it right over. Bam, got it replaced. Done. Right? That's having team. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But just simply being prepared will do a lot for you. And part of that preparation, aside from having good insurance in place, aside from doing the proper renovations on your house, hugely important, or on those apartments, aside from doing some routine maintenance, I talked about the ACs. I also like to send a tree guy out from time to time. Some of our houses we've held a little bit longer than maybe you should. And those trees, they just keep growing. We've had a very, very wet spring this year. In fact, since I've been on the road, I'll periodically check the weather back home. And man, it's been raining a lot in North Texas. I'm a little bit surprised. So those trees keep growing. So I want to do proper maintenance and keep those things trimmed. We do have our residents take care of a certain level of tree trimming, but if it's a big branch way over the house, no. We'll take, people ask me this all the time, who does the tree care? I'll do that. I want to make sure it's done right. I've got a great guy that does it for a great price. And that takes me to team. What you can do as a real estate investor when it comes to hurdles, and this goes hand in hand with preparation, is have the right team built already. I don't want to have a problem come up and then have to scramble for a solution. Right? What if I didn't have a spare tire when I was on the side of the road? Well, we've got the, I don't know what it's not, like AAA for RVs, right? Just give them a call. Did I do that? No, because I wanted to get going faster. I could change it fast. Let's go. But we do have that team. But I don't want to have to put that team together when I'm dealing with the issue. If you do have a fire, if you do have a tornado, if there is a windstorm that takes some shingles off. Is that the time to be dealing with or finding the remediation company? No, you want to know who that is ahead of time. You can actually have a business plan. Write these things down. In fact, you should. Okay, if this event occurs, here's what I'll do. Here's who I contact. When do I talk with the residents? Do I talk with the residents? What is the workflow, in essence? Treat this as a business. Have that plan and have that team. Those are the professionals. You don't want to be out there doing it yourself. I got to get a tarp on the roof because we had a tornado. No, my roofer's going out there. He'll do it better. He'll do it quicker. He'll be more safe about it than I ever would be. All right. So having the right professionals on your team is key. And that's part of your preparation as well. Before you even buy that first house. And Lifestyles Unlimited, when you get the education, they're going to teach you this. They're going to tell you. In fact, there's a single family timeline checklist. Pages and pages of process. All the things we do. Very early on, it says build your team. Right? It's the lenders that you're going to have lending you the money because we want to use other people's money. It's the general contractors that are going to do the work because we want to use other people's knowledge and other people's time. Because when we start this business and we're buying our first house, are you a full-time real estate investor? You're not. You're probably working a job. You've got a full-time commitment somewhere else. You've got family. You don't want to break away from that to deal with this stuff. So having that team in place really helps the process. But then when those hurdles do come up, they're there to help you. You know, this is a one-off thing years ago. This takes me actually back to that comment about trees. We did have a tree limb drop on the service line, the overhead power line. This is a 1950s build, right? They didn't put the lines underground. It dropped. It caught the power line. And it bent the mast, the weatherhead. We were traveling. We were in the RV. We were out of the state at the time. Did I come back? Did I hop on a plane to fly back? No, we just called our general contractor that was literally, I think, a half a mile away is where his office was. And he went out. He and his project manager, they said, well, here's what we have to do. And they did it. And that was it. We didn't. In fact, we were in Washington, D.C. I can remember now. We were walking around in the museums there. Nothing to do. Right? It's outsourcing to that team that you have in place already. So that was one of those one-off tail events. Didn't expect it at all. Which takes me back to the proper maintenance, getting those trees trimmed. We keep a better eye now on those trees in that particular yard. So having the professionals around you, very important. Another part of your team is a mentor. Somebody that's done this stuff and is steps ahead of you. Maybe miles ahead of you. Maybe already across the country. We have a lot of mentors at Lifestyles Unlimited that can help you, whether you are planning to invest as a single family investor like I started. We have single family mentors. Maybe you want to invest passively in apartments. I also do that. Well, we have passive mentors. Or maybe you want to be that person that really you're like Teddy Roosevelt. You're that type A. I'm going to go out. I'm doing the fight. This is my thing. I don't want to sit still. I don't want to fritter away my time. I'm going to go do this thing. You want to be the lead investor. You want to be in control. That's great. We have mentors for you as well. We have a lot of people there to help you as you move forward, right, on your path to financial freedom. Mentors are also there when these hurdles present themselves. I can remember this was at a multifamily road trip. Lee, he presented actually at one of our case studies, and he talked about a situation where he had just closed on small apartment community, his first time to buy apartments. This was a little bit north of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And there was a fire, right? There's that tail end event. A fire took out I don't know how many units. Did he panic? I don't know. Maybe a little bit on the outset, but then he got smart. Who's on my team? And he called Terry. Terry's one of our operations consultants. Aside from the mentors, we have operations consultants that help you as an investor. Now, Lee was not syndicating. This was his own independent rental owner deal, meaning he bought it by himself. So he calls Terry. Terry tells him what to do. He's driving up to the property. He calls Terry again. Terry tells him, here are the next steps, Lee. Take care of it. He calls her again. They had this back and forth. Problem got resolved. In fact, he tapped into that insurance. We talked about having proper insurance to mitigate risk. Units rebuilt, totally new apartments there on that portion of the property. So having a mentor, having that consultant on hand to help you when these things do occur is very, very important. Would I panic? Probably. Just like I thought my RV's on fire when I initially looked back and saw smoke. Tire was melting as we rolled down the freeway. So call that mentor, they'll talk you down, they'll level set, and we'll move forward. Have that team, they're going to help you as well. And the third component, I think, as far as team goes, is having a great network. Because there are other experienced investors out there. It doesn't have to be a mentor. I'm going to talk with my investor network anytime I run into a new issue, a new thing, whatever it may be. I'm going to ask them, right? Quick email to the group. Hey, have you encountered this situation? It's totally new to me. It's in this city. Who invests there? Can you tell me about working with the municipality or whatever it is? They're going to jump to your aid. So having the right team, having that mentor, and having a good network are all things that you can do to help you address these hurdles when they do arise, and they will. Some big, some small. You know, things happen. So preparation in part for us was just reviewing it, looking it over, doing what we can to fix what we can beforehand. That's what we do as real estate investors when we buy a house, right? We do the renovations. We fix anything that is broken now or could break in the next handful of years. And that does a ton for us, right? But things can still happen. And that's where having a team in place is hugely important. Having the professionals to turn to when something might happen, when something does happen, having that mentor to talk to. Ah, man, this thing has happened. I don't know what to do. Mentors probably either experienced it themselves or talked with other members that have. That's the great thing. Their experience is not just their own. It's this huge, huge pool of experience that they're really able to tap into. And then there's your network. But what about mindset? You know, what can you do as a real estate investor when it comes to mindset? Because they're, simply put, you know, some people are going to dwell on it. They're going to not do anything about it. They're going to cry about it. They're going to complain about it. You can't be that person. You have to be the person that can maybe not laugh, but at least shrug and go attack it and go do that thing. How do you get mentally prepared? Well, you have to, education is part of it, right? Know what happens. Again, thinking about that bell curve, know that most of the things occur right there in the middle of the bell. Right, that's where the greatest frequency is, the greatest probability, which is normal. Right, that's a normal curve. What do I do when things happen in the tail? What could happen in the tail? Right, we do talk about these things. We do have seminars. We do have sessions where we learn about some of the specifics around dealing with a fire, a tornado, whatever. Right, so there's being mentally prepared from that perspective and having the proper education and having been at least introduced to, let's say, some of the notions, some of the things that could happen so that you've thought about them, maybe put together a business plan. But then mentally handling them it's a skill set. And I'll tell you, very early on, it was our third house. The first renters that we put into our third house, they had issues with everything. We had fixed up the house. House was great. But these guys were very, very picky. And every time I got an email from them, my phone would make this particular sound and I would cringe a little bit. Well, I learned over time, number one, to develop a thicker skin. Just because they're emailing me about something minuscule doesn't mean it's an issue, doesn't mean it's a problem, does not mean it's a hurdle. Now, I have to deal with it. I have to talk to them. That's where you can have a conversation with your mentor or your network as well. Hey, I've got this person. It's making me crazy, right? Is this every resident? No. This is the one time really that we've dealt with it. That was 12, 13 years ago, right? But what kind of person are you? Are you going to cry about it or are you going to do something about it? You know, we did eventually have a conversation, say, look, you know, these things are fine. The house is fixed, dot, 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 right? But my mindset at the time was one of reactionary, right? Ah, I've got a deal. Ah, it's another one. Ah, here it comes again. Eventually you learn to take these things with grace and maybe let it be a little bit like water off a duck's back in this particular case, right? Did I laugh about it? No. Did I cry about it? I did. But eventually I learned to laugh about it, you know, to deal with it more in a lighter fashion, right? That is something you will develop with time. If you're the person that's on the wrong end of the spectrum, let's say, you will grow. You can change. And we can help you with mindset. We talk a lot about mindset. In fact, if you go to the 2-day seminar, we talk a lot about investing in single family houses. We talk a lot about investing in apartments, but we also focus on different aspects of mindset. And mindset is hugely important. If you want to learn more about that 2-day, by the way, you can text the keyword radio, text that to 88007. You'll get a link for our Financial Freedom Seminar, the 2-day. You can register there and get out to that. You can do that in person or you can do that online. We do live stream those. So whether you're in California like I am now, yeah, you can do that remotely. Doesn't matter. Again, text the keyword radio to 88007. But that is a component of the education, is mindset. It's important. And you need to know who you are. How do you tend to approach problems? Can you adjust that? And this is not a new concept. I've been reading a book. I've actually read this once before. It's called The Daily Stoic. It's an assembly of different quotes from old Stoic philosophers. Way back then, they talked about it. Yeah, I'm not going to read this to you, but he's talking about the fact that this particular philosopher goes out and he sees problems and he cries and he complains. This other one goes out and he laughs. Who's going to better be able to survive a setback? Even 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, right? This was a topic. It's always going to be a topic. You want to plan to take things with grace if you can, right? The guy who cries and never stops talking, no. The guy who laughs about it, does what's necessary to remedy the situation and moves on. Yeah, he's gonna get farther down that path. So you need to know thyself, and it's hard to change, but yeah, you can make some incremental improvements. You can do things, go to sessions like our two-day, talk with other investors, surround yourself with like-minded people, and they'll help you get past both those actual hurdles that come up as well as your own mindset hurdles. You can learn to do these things better. Now, I want to shift gears and I want to get to a listener question because this is a hurdle he's dealing with, right? He asked about lease-ups. He said, what do you do if it's a slow lease-up period? And there are different seasons, let's say, when a slower lease-up could come up. So you fixed up this house, you've just renovated, oh, it's gorgeous. You think it's going to rent tomorrow, and in most situations it will. But maybe it's Thanksgiving holiday or it's Christmas. Yeah, sometimes seasonality does play into the speed of your lease up. It doesn't always, right? If you're marketing well, if you're following what we teach at that two-day, you've started marketing well before the renovations are even done. You've given yourself greater lead time to get that rented now and then finish the renovations and then move the family in the next day, right? So a slow lease-up may be due to how you're approaching the timing. Do I have to wait until all the renovations are done so I can get those fabulous pictures? Yeah, fabulous pictures help. But depending on how you approach that marketing, you can really start a lot sooner. Sign in the yard, right? If you have other rental properties, post pictures on the house that show what it's kind of going to look like, right? This is the house on XYZ, Main Street down the road, whatever is what it looks like. This is going to be similar. Right? Let people in. You know, when we did our first house, I said to my contractor, after the foundation was fixed and the floor had been closed back up, I said, all right, I'm going to start marketing this. People are going to show up. If they show up, if it's safe, go ahead and let them in. And here's what I'm asking in terms of the rent. We actually found our renter before we were done with the construction. So if your lease up is going slower, maybe you need a new approach when we're talking about the house that you're just now renovating. Now, you may have a house that's in your portfolio already. And your residents, maybe they bought a house. I've had this happen, you know, once or twice per year. They go out, they buy a house. So I got to find a new resident because they're moving out. Okay, great. Well, when do you start marketing? Here too. This is why I like to do regular walkthroughs to make sure the house is always show ready. Because at some point when these folks move out, I'm going to have to show the house. And I let them know, yes, I'm going to be showing the house while you're here. The lease provides for that. The lease allows for that. If you don't want that to happen, you get to pay an extra month's rent to buy me out of that showing option, right? That's an option as well, right? Check your lease. But we're going to start marking that 45 days out before they move. And I tell them every time, look, the cleaner you keep this house, the more show worthy and show ready it is, the sooner we'll be through this marketing phase and you can go back to living a peaceable life, right? The more of a wreck it is, the more showings I have to have. If you can't contain that dog or whatever the issue is, it's going to take longer. And I find in 9 times out of 10, most people, they cooperate. Hey, if we've been great operators all along, they're happy to work with us. They love us as rental owners. They're going to do what they can to help us through the process as well. You know, typically when someone says non-renewal, they're very apologetic. Oh man, I love the house. I really like working with you guys. I hate to move. Great. I love working with those folks. Now, maybe the house isn't quite show-ready. Maybe you haven't stayed on top of repairs, right? When the resident breaks something or whatever the situation is, then you may have to wait to show the house until they've moved out. Get someone in there as quick as you can. And here's where you really have to pay attention to your rental comps. Are you really marketing a house that is in line with everything else? I've looked at houses that fellow investors are renting. You know, again, having that team, having that network, they've reached out to the group, and I've gone and looked at their listing and said, wow, that's not really updated. So if you're having a slow lease up, you may not have done the updates quite where they should be for that particular market. That could be the issue, or maybe your rent is set a little too high. Commonly, it's one of those two things. So you need to get out to your market. If you're having a slow lease up phase, what does your market tell you? That is ultimately the benchmark for your houses. What's rented recently and what is on the market now? I will look at the MLS listings, and you should as well. Get with a realtor if you don't have one. And then look at what's on the other platforms, things like Zillow. A lot of rental owners prefer to list things on their own to save on the commission that you otherwise pay to a leasing agent. So they're just going to use Zillow, or they're just going to use Realtor.com, or they're just going to use Zumper or one of these other platforms. What do you see out there that's not in the MLS? That's going to tell you something as well. So make sure your rent's in place. And if you have to lower it, lower it. Better lower it 25 days today and get it rented tomorrow than wait a month or two. Quick adjustment, right? Hey, end of the show. I thank you for tuning in. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.